A controversial medical waste incinerator in North Salt Lake could be considering a move. The Utah State Air Quality Board finally has a plan to meet federal air quality regulations, and the House Committee investigating Attorney General John Swallow asks for the public's help. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Thursday, September 12th. I'm Brian Grimmett. As angry residents continue to protest Stericycle's medical waste incinerator and its toxic emissions, some local officials have been discussing the possibility of moving the plant to another location. KUER's Andrea Smartin reports.
North Salt Lake Mayor Len Arvey met with Stericycle's Vice President of Legislative and Regulatory Affairs earlier this week. Arvey says he thinks the incinerator should find another home outside the city, and that Stericycle seems to be open to that possibility.
I don't think anybody, including Stericycle, thinks that their current location is a great location for that plant. I guess I could have my mind changed, but I think we need to work towards a solution where they move.
The state's director of air quality, Bryce Bird, says his division has considered that option. State officials have been in discussions with the company since May, when they first cited Stericycle for exceeding permitted emissions of toxic pollutants and falsifying records.
That was part of our discussions that we've had with the company over the past several months as part of our settlement negotiations, but nothing firm had been established or is established at this point. So again, that is an option that would provide a permanent solution to the residential interface right there.
Bird says there are some hurdles with that plan, though. It would have to be approved by the state legislature and the governor. Meanwhile, residents and activists staged a protest in front of the governor's office Wednesday, demanding an immediate shutdown of the plant. The state's director of environmental quality, Amanda Smith, issued a statement saying that if Stericycle does not comply with the notice of violation, the state will pursue all legal options to revoke its permit. The company has until September 28th to appeal the alleged violations. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
Utah State Air Quality Board has approved a new plan for meeting federal air quality regulations on the Wasatch Front. KUER's Dan Baumis has that story.
Most of the residents in the valley are going to be breathing clean air probably, you know, sooner than 2019. So that's a good thing.
That's Bill Rice, a planner with the Utah Division of Air Quality. He was explaining how Utah's urban counties are going to meet federal standards for the fine particles called PM2.5. The state is relying heavily on improvements in auto emissions that are built into newer cars, but industrial polluters and small businesses like bakeries and body shops are also being required to pollute less. Bryce Bird, the director of the division, says the plan also focuses attention on stricter enforcement of wood burning, which he says has been a huge problem during periods of stagnant air in the winter.
So the inversion would start, we'd start building up concentrations, and then 3 or 4 days into the inversion, we'd prohibit wood burning.
Mm-hmm.
What we did with the new rule is put that prohibition in earlier in the inversion.
The Air Quality Board adopted the plan unanimously. A 30-day public comment period will begin October 1st, and the board plans to finalize it in December. By then, Utah will be a year late submitting its state implementation plan to the Federal Environmental Protection Agency. Dan Baumis, KUER News.
The special counsel and investigator for the House Special Investigative Committee of Utah Attorney General John Swallow formally introduced themselves to legislators yesterday and outlined their plan for the investigation. When laying out the investigation plan to the committee, Special Counsel Steve Reich says there's no one-size-fits-all way of doing it. Instead, he says the committee has several options available that they can pick and choose from depending on the issue. Those options include going after public records, using the subpoena power to obtain private documents, and gathering witness testimony. Reich says he's also confident there are people out there with information that haven't yet stepped forward.
And to those people, I would say that they should reach out to our investigator here in Utah, Pamela Lindquist, and provide information that you think may be relevant to our inquiry.
The Utah House of Representatives has made a request form available on the web for those who would like to step forward and speak with an investigator. A link to that form can be found on our webpage at KUER.org. Committee Chairman Representative Jim Dunnigan also confirmed that, based on the work done so far, the initial cost estimate of $3 million is likely correct, but he doesn't expect the cost will limit the scope of the investigation.
I think we'll be cognizant of the cost. We're aware that we're using taxpayer dollars, but we certainly want them to go wherever the leads take them. and to investigate the things that are appropriate.
The committee has not set a date for their next meeting. Dunnigan says at this point in the process, they are leaving most of the work to the investigators. Stan Penfold represents the 3rd District on the Salt Lake City Council, and he's the only councilman running for re-election this year. 3 other members of the council have decided to step down. As part of her series on Salt Lake City's upcoming municipal election, KUER's Whitney Evans takes a look at the race in District 3.
Should we do that?
Okay.
All right.
Gwen Springmeyer says she couldn't be happier with her idyllic slice of life in Salt Lake City's Upper Avenues. She chairs the community council there and supports District 3 incumbent Stan Penfold.
I like it because it is a self-contained neighborhood. There's a bank. There's a dry cleaners. There's a long list of restaurants.
District 3 spans east from the affluent Federal Heights neighborhood near the University of Utah, west to a more diverse industrial section of town just east of I-15. Springmeyer and I paid a visit to a tennis court in her neighborhood. This one in Reservoir Park is well-maintained by city workers. It's quite the contrast to a less visible tennis court at Lindsay Gardens.
Yep, this is bad. Yeah. Clearly hasn't been used for a while.
This one is covered in graffiti with plants growing up through the cracks on the surface of the court. The council's rationale for approving an $8 million property tax increase this year was partly to address backlogged maintenance like this. But Springmeyer says she's not sure how to feel about the city's tax hike because she doesn't know what it's going to pay for.
I would really like to see a list of what's going to take place after the tax increase money starts coming in. And there are things I'd like to make sure are on that list.
District 3 Councilman Stan Penfold says he would have preferred the city make that list before approving a tax hike, which he voted against.
We'll probably end up seeing that tax increase spent on other infrastructure needs and not necessarily things like replacing the brick wall behind the cemetery, which is a historic feature in our neighborhood. People really care about that. It's really visible and it's crumbling, and it's not on the list of things we're going to fix.
Penfold says the city could have partnered with the state to fund improvements to things like streets that carry mostly commuter traffic.
But if we just go ahead and say to the residents, we're going to fund it ourselves, you kind of lose that leverage and that bargaining opportunity with the state to say, hey, we think you should participate too, because we are the capital city.
The west end of Penfold's district is a railroad corridor with a lot of small-scale warehouses and modest homes. But he says the area is improving. The Salt Lake City Marmalade Branch Library is under construction. Penfold says the block will be a community gathering place.
That's all about how to make that walkable. How do you have a destination so that people feel like I don't have to get in my car and travel to get some groceries or have a little bite to eat or a coffee?
Penfold, who chairs the city's redevelopment agency, also initiated a rezone of the area from industrial to residential. Most residents in Salt Lake City's 3rd District applaud Penfold's performance in his first term. Sherman Clow, on the other hand, is posing a challenge. He's vying for Penfold's seat to take back access to downtown amenities he says Avenues and Capitol Hill residents are losing. Specifically, he takes issue with the big blue parking meters downtown.
In the middle of a recession, they spent millions on new, real cool meters. You know, I like smartphone apps, and I think being able to use a credit card is good. But then they extended the hours in the evening, which has really hurt a lot of local businesses downtown.
Clow says some of the decisions Salt Lake City officials have made are making life more complicated and costly. And on top of that, the Avenues has poor bus service. He says it's easier for someone who lives in the south of the valley to enjoy an evening in downtown Salt Lake City than someone who lives in the Avenues or Capitol Hill.
They can enjoy downtown. They can take a late night tracks out back to their car. But in the Avenues, if you're not on the bus by 6:30 p.m., you're taking a cab or walking home.
With transportation, city maintenance, and other issues on their minds, voters will decide on November 2nd whether to give Stan Penfold another term in office or elect Sherman Clow to represent their economically diverse district. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
Wind energy facilities have killed at least 67 golden and bald eagles in the last 5 years, but the figure could be much higher, according to a new scientific study by government biologists. The research represents one of the first tallies of eagle deaths attributed to the nation's growing wind energy industry, which has been a pillar of President Barack Obama's push for green energy. Most of the deaths were caused by the blades of the wind turbines. One eagle was electrocuted by a power line. The Cache Humane Society in Logan says it's euthanized all 30 cats at the shelter after an outbreak of a highly contagious and fatal virus. Shelter managers say it was a tragic but necessary step to controlling the disease. The shelter is not taking in any new cats until the building is disinfected. And finally, the shutdown of Kennecott's Bingham Canyon mine after a massive April landslide is beginning to impact sales tax revenues in Salt Lake County. The Salt Lake Tribune reports that even though there are other factors involved, overall sales tax collections in June were 3.4% below the same month a year earlier, a decline of about $444,000. County Financial Officer Lance Brown told the County Council Kennecott is a significant factor in the slide. And that is your KUER News Pod for Thursday, September 12th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, visit us online at KUER.org or follow us on Twitter at KUER News. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.